I'm John Kroll. Today on No Limits, as we head into the busiest shopping season of the year, we're going to talk about what it means to shop local. We're going to discuss what dropping our dollars close to home does for the local economy and the life of a community. My guests will be Tiffany Benedict Berkson of HistoricIndianapolis.com and Yelp's Totally Bizarre, Kristen Cohn of Silver in the City, and Amanda Maurer Taflinger of Homespun, Modern Homemade, and organizer of Indiana Handicraft Exchange. Please join the conversation. Call 866-476-3881. Email is nolimits@wfyi.org. Facebook is nolimitswfyi. Twitter is wfyi. Now, this news. Welcome to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We're talking about the importance of shopping local as we head into the heaviest shopping season of the year and in anticipation of Small Business Saturday this coming Saturday. If you'd like to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or on Twitter at wfyi. Well, my guests are Kristen Cohn of Silver in the City, Amanda Maurer Taflinger, who is with Homespun, Modern Handmade, an organizer of Indiana Handicraft Exchange, and Tiffany Benedict Berkson of HistoricIndianapolis.com and spokesperson for Yelp's Totally Bizarre. Welcome to all of you.
Thank you.
It's good to have you all here. We probably ought to start by talking about, get some definition of what we mean when we talk about shopping local. I mean, okay, they're all pointing at each other here. I should say at the beginning, radio is not a visual medium here. They're not going to get that. Okay, so I'll start with Kristen.
Shopping locally just means going to the stores, the service places, the restaurants, the bars that are locally owned. They're not a big national chain store. They could be owned by people who live in your community. And there's very important reasons for shopping at your small local businesses.
Okay. Amanda, anything to add?
She pretty much covered it.
And Tiffany?
I'll third that.
Okay. So why is this important?
Because when you spend your money at a local small business, the statistics say that 52 out of every $100 you spend at a local business will stay within your local community. And that's as compared to $14, which stays in your community when you shop at a national chain. So that's a pretty big difference. That's a really good way to keep your local economy thriving is by patronizing your local restaurants, shops, and service places.
I'm going to give everybody a crack at that one. Tiffany, I'll let you take the next one. Why it's important to shop local.
Well, further to Kristen's point, we do need to continue to grow the local economy and support the artists, the creatives, the people that had the guts to start something to make our community better rather than somebody swooping in to try to, I don't know, I see it as a more take advantage sort of a thing if it's somebody from a chain, but locally they see a need and they want to fill that need. And so that's why.
Okay. And Amanda, I'll let you have the last word.
It also helps keep Indy a thriving home for artists, entrepreneurs, and young professionals. One of the important things that we push at Homespun is the fact that it also helps develop relationships. We work with 300 different individual artists. A great portion of those are from Indianapolis. And so for us, it helps us get to know more community members, form relationships, not just with the artists that we work with, but also other business owners. So there's a community of young entrepreneurs, and we've all forged relationships and gotten to know one another and helped develop ideas and collaborative projects. So that's important to us.
How do you, and this is going to sound like a simple question, but it often can't be, how do you know that a business is locally owned? I mean, many of the chains go to some lengths, obviously, to disguise their ownership and to disguise the fact that they are, in fact, chains. I'll start with Amanda on that one.
I think a lot of small locally owned business owners are just proud of that fact, and they'll make sure that you know it. They'll express that through their social media. They'll have signs that indicate it. They'll make their presence known, and they'll make it clear because I think that the things... There's great convenience in having a lot of chain stores in different places. Wherever you travel, you know that you can find a Target, you know you can find a Starbucks. But I think that...
you don't have to travel far.
Right, but I think that the things that people really value about individual experiences in different places are the unique places, the places that really add character and individuality to a city. So I think that anybody that owns a local business that they're proud to own will definitely make sure that everyone knows that so that they can be representative of the city.
But there are, at times... chains that will argue that they're locally owned and operated, even if they aren't. Is there some system of verification, Kristen?
I don't think that there is any certain standardized system. I think, you know, just ask. You know, ask the people working at that shop, the people behind the counter. And then, you know, how would you define a company that is centralized here that has multiple outlets, you know, is in Indianapolis or central Indiana,
there
has multiple outlets
as, yeah.
within central Indiana, or even expand into communities in neighboring states. You know, you're still supporting a fairly, you know, small, homegrown local business. At one point in time, they started with one location in one small town or one city.
And Tiffany, I'll give you the last word. How do you know that it is locally owned and operated? Is there a way of determining that? And
well, I to tag on to what they were saying, I think you do see a greater presence and in not only in social media, but they'll have signage. People on Yelp will actually leave reviews because they've talked to the store owner. And so I think it's pretty clear when they've got the stickers all over the counter and, you know, they've got the local posters in the window, because a lot of those chains won't allow for such things. But the locals support other locals. So it's just a big family type of feel.
We are talking about the importance of shopping locally here on No Limits in anticipation of Small Business Saturday. If you would like to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at No Limits WFYI or on Twitter at WFYI. Well, let's start by talking about Small Business Saturday. What is involved in all of that? Kristen, you're almost leaping out of your chair in anticipation here, so I'll go with you first.
Well, sure. You know, Small Business Saturday is an event promoted by American Express. And the way it began was that you could register your American Express card and they would put a rebate on your statement if you used it on the Saturday after Thanksgiving at a small business that had also been registered and accepts the American Express card. And now that's really grown. People really responded. And I can tell you that they're not just using their American Express cards. You know, for us, Small Business Saturday is one of our top 3 days of the year. It's the first one we run into going into the holiday season. And it generates about 2.6 times the sales that we see on a Black Friday. So it's a big, I mean, Indianapolis has responded to the call, you know, that this national campaign promotes for people to really get out of their houses. And this doesn't even always have to be shopping. This could be going to your farmer's market. This could be eating at a locally owned restaurant. And this year, they've done a really great addition to the program where instead of getting one big rebate at one location, you can earn up to 3 separate $10 rebates. So it encourages you to not just visit one local shop, but to visit multiple locally owned businesses.
And when you say the we see this as 2.6 times, are you referring to your business individually or collectively?
I'm referring to Silver in the City.
To Silver in the City. Do those numbers track with the rest of you? Amanda, you're nodding your head.
Yeah, it's always one of our strongest sales days of the year. You know, we opened in 2010, and that was the first year that American Express had this campaign. And we did not accept American Express at the time. We worked with a small...
kind of encouraged you
right,
to do so.
Well, we worked with a small credit card processing company who didn't offer that. They only offered the other 3 major credit cards. And so even though we didn't offer it, we still saw a great turnout. And people understood that. You know, they always ask, oh, do you take this? Because they'd like to use it to get the rebate. But when we didn't, they didn't walk out the door without a purchase. They still were there to support us. That was the primary goal. And it's every year since our sales have grown. People have responded with, you know, greater interest, and the numbers, the turnout is just growing and growing and growing. It's fantastic.
Tiffany, do we see that? Obviously, you're here as a spokesperson for Yelp, too. So, you know, the totally bizarre. We should talk a little bit about what that is as well. But I'm assuming that we see this across the board with, Small Business Saturday, right?
I would think so. But I am not equipped to answer the questions on the that part.
Okay. Well, then tell me about Totally Bizarre.
So it is a fantastic, amazing opportunity to go and interact with some of the local vendors. I can't remember if it's 120 or 130 local vendors. And on top of that, the food and drink vendors as well. But it is just such an electric experience to see everybody who is there. They want the indie gear, and they are going to get it at the bazaar. I mean, I know Kristen carries a lot of that stuff, as do you, Amanda, but it's just really exciting to see people that are lined up out the door, and they want stuff that has the Indiana flag, that has the Indiana map, that has Indianapolis, all these local movements about Indy and Indianapolis are just really well received at that. It's exciting.
So what sort of things are available there then are we talking about? And if people are interested in taking part, how do they go about doing so?
So it's going to be at the Central Library on Thursday, December 11th from 6 to 10 p.m. My understanding is that there are going to be vendors on every floor of the library. So what a wonderful place to get to wander around and shop and see your friends and look at all of the newest, latest and greatest indie branded stuff. There are just so many amazing brands that will be there. We've got the t-shirt vendors. I think a lot of the people that are actually represented at your stores know.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, there. I'm sure United State of Indiana will be there. Mm-hmm. You know, there are a lot of individual artists who make things from their homes or home mm-hmm. studios, but then there are also a lot of brick and mortar businesses, and that's what sets the Yelp Bazaar apart. Is that it's not just a place where there are a lot of art and craft fairs. We run one as well that will be this holiday season, but there are a lot of art and craft fairs where individual artists come out, but this is the only place that brings together 120 unique businesses that are brick and mortar stores as well. So instead of having to drive all over the city and visit, you know, the north side and the south side and hit up every place in between, you get to go to one place and you can find almost all of those great local businesses at one location.
We are talking about the importance of shopping locally here on No Limits. If you would like to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at NoLimitsWFYI or on Twitter at WFYI. Ron, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
Certainly. What's on your mind?
Well, I have a question/comment. You know, the problem with shopping locally has been around for years. I appreciate the efforts of everybody on your panel. I appreciate your show for bringing this up. But the whole entire problem really started with NAFTA. And as a United Auto Workers member, I question how many people on your panel actually drive American products. And I don't expect them to answer, but it's kind of to the point that this goes way, way back, and I don't see it turning around anytime soon, but hopefully with the efforts of the people on your panel, it will. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much for the call, Ron, and the question. Well,
sure.
How much of this, I'll reframe Ron's question ever so slightly. I mean, we obviously now live in a globalized economy, and in some ways this is kind of a response to the forces of globalization. Why is it in this context so important to shop locally, Amanda?
Well, I don't know that I can answer his question specifically, but the only thing I can say to that is that I do see progress. You know, I see people taking greater and greater steps. You know, when I grew up here and I moved back several years ago. And when I first moved back, there weren't so many local businesses. There wasn't a lot of local pride. And it's been developing over recent years with great intensity. And I think it's all developing in small steps. You know, when we first opened our store, I had a really hard time finding clothing vendors who produced clothing locally. And now there are several local clothing brands. And there's also a local, a store that primarily, it's called Pattern, that primarily carries local fashion designers. And so, I think that that's, I mean, obviously that's a huge step from fashion to cars, but I think people are putting more thought into where they're making their purchases. And so hopefully, you know, in recent years, people will kind of come back around and start making those decisions about bigger items and bringing, you know, more economy development back to the U.S. and back to our individual states. Hopefully that helps you.
We are talking about the importance of shopping locally here on No Limits. My guests are Kristen Cohn of Silver in the City, Amanda Maurer Taflinger of Homespun, Modern Handmade, and organizer of Indiana Handicraft Exchange, Tiffany Benedict Berkson of HistoricIndianapolis.com, and spokesperson for Yelp's Totally Bizarre. Please stay with us.
No Limits is made possible by Apparatus, managing IT infrastructure so companies don't have to. It's advanced IT made simple. Learn more at apparatus.net.
Welcome back to No Limits. I'm John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StateHouseFile.com, and your host. We're talking about the importance of shopping locally today on No Limits. My guests are Kristen Cohn of Silver in the City, Amanda Maurer Taflinger of Homespun, Modern Handmade, an organizer of Indiana Handicraft Exchange, and Tiffany Benedict Berkson of HistoricIndianapolis.com and spokesperson for Yelp's Totally Bizarre. We're talking just before the break about the importance of shopping locally and really talking about individual businesses. We've gotten a tweet from a listener named Gwen, and if you'd like to reach out to us via Twitter, you can do so at WFYI. And Gwen's tweet sort of speaks to all of this. She says, Gwen loves Taxman Brewing and the best chocolate in town. And some of that, I would think, that sort of loyalty is and the devotion is the sort of stuff that all of you crave, I would think. Right, Kristen?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think when we were talking earlier about how can you tell if a business that you walk into is locally owned, I mean, I think you might just immediately notice a difference. You're going to be surrounded by a more unique, welcoming, inviting atmosphere, and you'll more than likely have a chance to interact with the people who are there. And so it's very important for me and for all of our staff there to make sure that we are having these face-to-face interactions with our customers and keeping them informed and keeping those relationships strong. And again, I feel like our community turns out and supports local business, and I think they are loud about it via their social media, and that's just, it's fabulous. I mean, they don't know how much that helps build brand loyalty in a community.
How many people will show up for the bazaar, for example? I mean, do you have numbers on that? Or
I cannot remember, but I can tell you it's thousands. It started it was either 3 or 4 years ago at City Market, and that got crowded out. And then last year it was at Old City Hall, now The Hall. And I think every year it has wanted to grow. And so it's fabulous that Yelp has been able to partner with the Central Library this way so that they can really accommodate all the vendors that want to be there. And I know there's actually a wait list as well of vendors who wanted to be part of it, but they just ran out of space.
We are talking about the importance of shopping locally here on No Limits. If you'd like to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at No Limits WFYI or on Twitter at WFYI. Well, we're joined now by Travis DiNicola, WFYI's own and the force behind Indie Reads Bookstore. Travis, welcome to the program.
John, thank you very much for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to first say you've got some incredible guests there, and I want to thank them all. Kristen and Amanda are two of the most inspiring small business owners I know, and the work that they do on the Mass Ave Merchants Association is incredible. And the Yelp Bazaar, Tiffany, thank you. That is such a great event each year. And so I just wanted to call John and say thank you for having them all on. And also mention that Indie Reads Books has its new book out, Indie Writes Books, which was talked about on No Limits recently.
Yeah, we had you guys on just a couple of weeks ago. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. We did. So, and it is for sale now at Indie Reads Books. It's also going to be for sale at the Yelp Bazaar. We'll be there. And just one other thing. Speaking of small businesses, Santa is going to be on Mass Ave from noon to 2 at Indie Reads Books this Saturday for Small Business Saturday.
Oh, so you said what time's from 12?
Oh, okay.
So what time again, Travis? Is Santa going to be there?
Santa's going to be at Indy Reed's Books on Mass Ave from noon to 2 on Small Business Saturday.
And feel free to give people the address, too. If we're going to call in, let's plug all the way if we're going to plug.
You bet. It's 911 Massachusetts Avenue. So, okay. But, yeah, and looking forward to working with all the other small businesses this weekend on Small Business Saturday. You guys all do a great job.
Great. Thank you very much for the call.
Okay. Travis. Thanks, John.
Take care. Thanks. Well, again, obviously, this is a big event for all of you. We probably ought to ask, because we haven't done so far. I mean, you're each small business owners, operators. What products do you sell? I mean, what things do you sell that people, if they want to come out and shop at your shops this weekend, should they do? I'll start with Kristen.
Okay, sure. Well, Silver in the City specializes in sterling silver jewelry, home decor, and gifts. We also have a lot of holiday decor, cards, ornaments, locally made goods, a lot of local pride. Indiana ornaments are a big one this year. And so you'll find a huge selection of different objects.
Amanda.
We carry at Homespun about 300 different artists from across the U.S. We even have a handful of vendors from Canada. About half of those are based here in Indiana, a lot of them in central Indiana or right in Indianapolis. And we carry a lot of the same types of items that Silver in the City carries. We also carry jewelry and home decor. And we carry a lot of the Indiana Pride stuff as well. And we're kind of at either end of Mass Ave, so we kind of anchor either end of Mass Ave. And
where
there's a good spread between
them. And I should ask, and I'll pull Tiffany into this conversation too at some point. But what was the motivation behind saying, okay, I want to do this. I want to have this kind of business. And really, because people think, oh, yeah, I'd like to run my own business. They don't realize that, you know, it's an open question whether you run the business or the business runs you. So I'll start with Amanda on that one.
Why did I want to do this? Well,
is it an ongoing discussion within yourself?
Sometimes it is between me and my husband. I moved around a lot after I graduated from high school, and I moved back to Indianapolis after I'd been gone for about 10 years. And I had participated in some craft fairs in Chicago called the Renegade Craft Fair. And when I came back here, I found that we didn't really have a developed contemporary craft community here. And so we started the Indiana Handicraft Exchange, which we do two events each year now, one of which is coming up on Friday, December 5th at the Harrison Center for the Arts. But we offer two of those each year. And then I had been teaching. I was an art instructor. And my district ended up cutting art positions. And so when that happened, I didn't have anything else kind of in the queue for my career. And so as a natural outgrowth of the Handicraft Exchange, we decided to try our venture, try and open the store. And so we did that in 2010. And it's been extremely well received, and it's grown since then. And so, you know, I never imagined myself in retail, but I really, really love this, especially the relationships that we have with our vendors and with our customers. We have a lot of really fantastic customers that come back time and time again, displaying that loyalty that Kristen was talking about and really expressing their passion for the types of things we offer and wanting to find out more about the stories behind the products we carry.
Kristen.
Wow. I opened Silver in the City 14 years ago. I had moved here 3 years prior to that and was living downtown and working downtown, and it was very quiet back then. Like you mentioned before, when I traveled, I always liked seeking out those interesting neighborhoods full of unique locally owned businesses where you would see things that you just didn't see anywhere else. And we were at that time lacking that in downtown Indianapolis. It was, you know, started up in Broad Ripple and some of the other communities. And, you know, during different professional internships, I had supplemented my income by working retail. And one great neighborhood was Fells Point, Baltimore, where I worked in a small shop there and got to know the owner and discovered I really enjoyed working in the store and interacting with the customers and the merchandise. I loved pretty much every aspect of it. And so that was sort of my launch pad for opening my first shop, which was just 500 square feet of silver jewelry. And a year after that, we moved our location. We opened at 715 Mass Ave, and a year later, we moved to our current location at 434 Mass Ave, tripled our size, and added in the home decor and accessories and gifts.
Mm-hmm. And Tiffany, your career path.
Well, historicindianapolis.com obviously is a different animal than a bricks and mortar store.
Which is why I reframed it a little bit there.
So what we're selling is inspiring people by falling in love with Indianapolis through its history. That's what we're really selling. However, during the Yelp Bazaar, we carry our kind of high swag, as we call it, the high t-shirts, which, you know, thanks to the Star, they featured it this weekend. Lots of other high related stuff. Pictures of historic buildings, like the buildings that Kristen is in, for example, or something like that. So we sell something different than, obviously, the bricks and mortar.
We have gotten an email question from, or more of a comment from, a listener named Mike. And if you'd like to reach out to us by email, you can do so by sending the email to nolimits@wfyi.org. He says, Portland, Oregon does a wonderful job of promoting this with its Little Boxes event, Friday and Saturday. Indie small business owners would do well to check out Little Boxes. Amanda, you're nodding your head. Is that recognition?
It's not. You know, we have one of our great assistant managers just moved. Her husband got into grad school in Portland, so they just went out there, and she's learning a lot about the Portland community. And it's a place I've wanted to visit, but I haven't had the opportunity yet. But they do have a lot of local initiatives out there, and so that is something that we'll probably all check out now that we've heard about it.
Are there places around the country that we look at and say that they could be models for supporting homegrown and local businesses?
I think that there are a lot of different programs nationally in communities. One that is actually right here in Indianapolis, kind of got started by the Arts Council, is their Be Independent campaign. And that expanded, you know, it first started out as to encourage people to buy artwork, you know, and attend local art shows. But that's expanded to create, buy, be local. And they've created this entire campaign to support your local businesses. So it's nice that, you know, there's an organization that has started our own version of sort of a local shop local campaign. When you talk about communities and the things that they do to kind of bring all their small local businesses together, I think the Mass Ave Merchants Association has also been around for 14 years. And one of the things that I believe sets Mass Ave apart is our strong sense of collaboration with one another. And that is what has made us such a strong destination for visitors and a destination that is full of, you know, over 19 locally owned shops, over 20 locally owned restaurants and bars. And with that density, I mean, we truly do become a coveted destination for people living in Indianapolis, working in Indianapolis, visiting Indianapolis. And our Merchants Association has put together events for this Small Business Saturday, including putting together swag bags. So, you know, the first 10 customers in the shops on Small Business Saturday, we all open up at 9 o'clock. You know, the first 10 customers will get a swag bag filled with goodies from the Merchants Association, and there will be 10 super swag bags hidden in there with lots of, you know, higher denomination extras in there.
How high when we talk about higher denomination?
I believe there are some $50 valued gift cards.
Okay.
And there will be a warming station up in Amanda's neck of the woods.
Yeah, on the 800-900 block in the Trailside building, there is an open bay yet that has not been filled with a retail business. It's a newer building, and so they're still trying to fill the storefronts there, and it's almost filled to capacity at this point. But there is a storefront next to Pattern, and that one is empty, and so we will have an Etsy trunk show set up that morning, and so we'll have 6 different makers in there, and there will also be a warming station with, I believe, hot chocolate from the best chocolate in town, maybe some cider and some cookies as well. So people can stop in there, take a break, check out the Etsy vendors, the local makers. They're here from, they're in Indianapolis. There's jewelry, food product, really some handbags. There's all sorts of different things. And they can just take a bit of a break and warm up before they venture back out into the chilly weather.
We are talking about the importance of shopping locally here on No Limits. If you'd like to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. Mel, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
Certainly.
One of the issues that came up was identifying local businesses. And just from some research I've done, that seems to be one of the biggest challenges in supporting local. And actually, I have started an organization called Indiana Originals, and we are an association of locally owned and operated product, service, and artisans that were started in Indiana and promote Indiana businesses. And so actually every member that is in our organization has actually gone through a verification process to certify that they are truly local, were established in Indiana, and are still operating in Indiana.
And what is that verification process like? What does it consist of, Mel?
Well, part of it is seeing where the business is actually registered. A lot of that information can be found through the Secretary of State's office. And a lot of it, too, is getting to know the owner and actually meeting the owner and seeing, yes, they actually do live in Indiana, getting their background of this history, and then sharing that with people who might patronize their business.
Well, thanks very much for the call and for the information, Mel.
Happy, well, thank you.
Happy Thanksgiving.
You too.
We've also gotten an email from a listener named Gary. And again, if you want to reach out to us via email, you can do so at nolimits@wfyi.org. It says, what is the main focus or targeted demographic or focus for Small Biz Saturday, i.e. high wealth, quality, or high volume, low prices? And I'm seeing looks of puzzlement everywhere here.
I would say that it's never about high volume, low prices at your local independent shops. I mean, we just don't have the room to constantly be offering, you know, 30% off and 40% off and things like that. I think it really, it truly is about finding unique gifts for your loved ones, supporting your local economy. And that can come at a $10 price point. That can come at a $150 price point. We have always strived to make sure that we have a lovely gift at both ends of that spectrum.
We've also gotten a Facebook question from a listener named Michael. You can find us on Facebook at No Limits WFYI. He says, I fully support shopping locally and especially buying from local artisans. But isn't Yelp based in San Francisco? Why have a national chain company sponsor a buy local event? Tiffany, I think that one's kind of pitched your way.
Well, and let me say, we haven't mentioned this, but I am filling in for Brittany Smith, who is the Yelp community manager in Indianapolis. And yes, Yelp is, its parent company is based in San Francisco, but they devote resources to helping promote each city's individuality and the mom-and-pop shops. So while, yes, that part is based in California, they have nothing but love for the locals. And if you get Brittany's weekly newsletter, she is always touting all of the locals. I mean, I think she does a phenomenal job representing Indianapolis businesses. And I think we can look to these two ladies to verify that.
Kristen.
I would agree. I mean, Yelp is a fantastic tool to help us stay connected within our communities, especially for smaller businesses that, you know, may not have huge advertising budgets. Review sites like that are great. Now, if there was a locally owned entity providing an equal service to our community that Yelp does, I'm sure that we would be willing to do so, you know, to utilize that local one. But for now, I mean, Yelp just has such a great strength, and they do really stay active and promote our local community.
Isn't this kind of tricky? Because one of the things that I'm picking up out of the conversation, too, is that one of the advantages to local businesses, and we speak about Mass Avenue in particular, is the degree of collaboration, which, you know, carries with it, obviously, you may not be sharing profits or anything like that, but you're sharing information, you're sharing support systems. That comes maybe not as close to being a chain, but there are some of the facets that are in common. Kristen?
I wouldn't say that it's similar to a chain. I would say it's similar. It's sort of a local model of a larger shopping community.
So it's almost like a cooperative instead or something like that, where you're all working together. We are talking about the importance of shopping locally here on No Limits. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. My guests are Kristen Cohn of Silver in the City, Amanda Maurer-Tafflinger of Homespun, Modern Handmade, and organizer of Indiana Handicraft Exchange, and Tiffany Benedict Berkson of Historic Indianapolis. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StatehouseFile.com, and your host. We're talking today about the importance of shopping locally in anticipation of Small Business Saturday. My guests are Kristen Cohn of Silver in the City, Amanda Maurer-Tafflinger of Homespun, Modern Handmade, and organizer of Indiana Handicraft Exchange, Tiffany Benedict Berkson of HistoricIndianapolis.com, and spokesperson for Yelp's Totally Bizarre. Well, we've gotten a question here that says, does the panel, do you guys feel the pinch from big box stores? Do you find that the Walmarts of the world are a problem for you? And I guess I'd take that into a wider context here. What are the biggest challenges in being a locally owned business? I mean, one of them I've sort of gathered is finding the vendors to a degree and making sure that you are what you are selling is locally produced. But what are some of the other challenges, and what sort of competition do you face from these big box stores? Amanda.
Well, one of the things you mentioned earlier, you had said that a lot of big box stores will go through great efforts to make it look as if they're local or make it seem more homey and more localized. Working with individual artists, one thing that we have seen a lot coming from big box retailers recently is that they are I don't necessarily know where they're sourcing their ideas, but we're seeing a lot of the things that our smaller artists are producing replicated at bigger chains. I know there have been some issues with, you know, places like Urban Outfitters supposedly stealing artists' ideas, and I don't know about the exact validity of that, but there are a lot of there's a lot of news talk about it and a lot of talk in the community, and so we're seeing a lot of very homemade looking things and handmade looking things in Target and Walmart and Myers and places like that now that. You know, we've seen our artists produce for a long time, and that trend and that look seems to be being picked up largely by a lot of big box
retailers. So it's almost like an intellectual property, you know, the creative rights.
Yeah, and there are a lot of things that you can't really copyright. I mean, the Indiana, like, local pride is a very popular thing right now, and a lot of people are using it in a lot of different ways. And so I think a lot of artists develop an idea and then they see it replicated or used or kind of built on by somebody else. And so that kind of, you know, not just amongst other artists, but also with some bigger retailers as well. And so that kind of starts to eat into their profits and then eat into the small retail profits as well.
And Kristen, you've been at this for 14 years. I mean, what are the biggest challenges that you have faced, and where does most of the competition come from?
I would say initially, definitely getting people to change their shopping habits and move from, you know, their large national chains to shopping more locally were some of the biggest challenges. I would say online, the internet is probably one of our biggest competitors right now, and we are also online, but you know, it's just a challenge to be able to be up against, you know, a product that we might have at our store that might also be at Amazon. So we try to instead, you know, go back, you know, we're not trying to become a national internet brand at all, you know, but to come back locally and be able to offer, you know, same day pickup in store, same day delivery during the work week to downtown Indianapolis, things like that. I mean, we have to get creative in our thinking and find ways that we can add value that those stores can't.
I mean, is it fair to say, and that I think anticipates one of the questions, probably the first question we got from a caller about NAFTA and all of that, one of the arguments obviously for going larger is that there are economies of scale there, and that often, you know, the bigger you go on a per item basis, you can offer it more inexpensively. Is it, other than saying that you're going to be the lowest cost option, you have to provide some other incentive for people to shop there? And if so, what are those incentives that you offer? I'll start with you, Kristen.
I would say, and it seems really silly, you know, everyone who comes into our store and buys something, they will walk out with it in, you know, a fun branded shopping bag with tissue paper ready to give as a gift. Compare that to maybe shopping at Target, where you've got to take yourself over to the, you know, stationery aisle and purchase a bag and purchase tissue to wrap around the gift that you're giving to somebody while you're getting your grocery shopping done. It's a buildup of small things like that that adds value.
So it's a level of service rather than that. Amanda, how about you? What do you think your customers expect that they wouldn't get from a, you know, shopping with a chain or shopping online?
Building on what Kristen was talking about, service is, I think they also get time, and they get FaceTime with a person. You know, I was shopping at a larger store last week, and I was in line, and there were a couple customers behind me, and I could barely make my purchase before I felt like I was being rushed so that they could hurry up and run somebody else through the line. And I think one of the things that we take time and we pride ourselves on is having conversations with our customers, giving them little tidbits of information, telling them the story behind the product that they're purchasing. You know, if they want to know the details of, you know, the person who made it or what kind of materials they made, the environment that they created it in, we have all of that information at our fingertips, and we have that relationship with our vendors, so we can pass that information on to our customers. And I pay my employees to spend time and have conversations with people, because that's what we like having our business built on. We like those relationships and that amount of time and service that we can give to our customers.
Tiffany?
I would say, I'm stealing the, you know, when you care enough to send the very best sort of model. But I think when you do show up with a bag from Silver in the City, for example, it does have a different connotation. And people think, oh, wow, you took the time and you went and handpicked this out. It wasn't just, oh, it was on my wish list on Amazon or something. Like there was something deeper involved.
There's something more involved. And I guess it sounds like, from what I'm hearing from both of you, like Amanda, you were talking about how you pay your employees to spend time with the customers. Does that, it sounds like you're looking for a fairly specific profile, also your employees, that it's a very service-driven model.
Yeah, here. I mean, I hire people who are conversational, who are chatty and who want to talk to people and get to know more about them. I mean, I like having a staff who... they have interesting things to share about themselves, but they're also willing to engage with anybody who walks through the door, you know, no matter of, you know, how much money we know ahead of time that they do or don't have to spend. I mean, that's not the first question we ask. You know, we don't come in, we don't have our customers walk in with those expectations. They come in, we ask them what they're looking for. You know, can we help them find anything in particular? Sometimes we have people who come in and they say, it's my mother's birthday. She's the hardest person in the world to shop for. What ideas do you have? And we will kind of act as a personal shopper and walk around with them and give them different ideas and help them pick something out until they find just that right thing that will really work.
Does it help, Kristen, that maybe the same person was there the year before saying, and, you know, she's gotten even harder to shop for in the year, year since then? Well, we tried this last year, you know. I mean, do you build either formally or at least sort of intuitively customer profiles that you work with?
We definitely build informal relationships, and we do get to know the people who are coming back over and over again. And in our staff, we have a high retention rate, and so our staff gets to know people who come in multiple times throughout the year and year after year. And you can almost predict, you know, the ones that are going to show up on December 24th, you know, an hour before closing, but you're prepared for them. And we do prepare our staff to, build those relationships, get to know customers, get to know what their needs are, you know, help them meet those needs. And then again, when they come back the next time, to try to recall, you know, what worked then, what will work again, and have a new arsenal of ideas ready in their head to suggest.
So let's assume we are headed into Small Business Saturday, and obviously this coming weekend is sort of the kickoff of the holiday orgy of shopping. In general, suppose someone wants to come down to Mass Avenue to shop this coming Saturday. How would you suggest that they structure the day? I mean, obviously they should start with Silver in the City and Homespun Modern Handmade. But what other things do you think, if they want something that's going to be distinctive that you couldn't find anyplace else, where should they go?
Wow.
I mean, we're pretty much at either end. So, I mean,
start at one end of the other.
Make your way all the way down. I mean, and really, you know, there's parking all along Mass Ave. A lot of it is metered at the Trailside building at the, you know, northeast end, the 800, 900 block. We actually can offer free parking behind our building on the weekends. So people can park there and then they could make their way from our block down to the 300 block. There's a ton of businesses that I would recommend stopping at.
I mean,
well, go ahead.
At Homespun and Arts of Popping and Handmade Promenade, you can find all handmade gifts, and a high volume of locally made ones. There's the new pattern store that's by Homespun up at the East End that's focusing on local indie fashion. I mean, that's a really new concept for us, and that's great for a fashion lover. You've got Indie Reads Books that has the new and used books, The Best Chocolate in Town, which is I stop at Weekly because I can't help it. It's just there's Nurture Baby in the 400 block. They have their house brand, Elms and Cedars, of clothing that they're knitting and sewing themselves there. So, I mean, again, unique things. Mass Ave Toy Shop down at our end of the block, one of the most entertaining, wonderful worlds to go in. My kids, like, I can't pull them out of there when we go in. And then you can also mix in coffee, lunch, dinner, live jazz, theater. Our theaters have fantastic Christmas shows this time of year, and they're hilarious.
What, you know, obviously this is, I'm assuming for both of you, that, you know, the cliche always is that not-for-profits and jewelry stores make, you know, 50% of their nut between Thanksgiving and January 1st. Probably not quite that for the two of you, but it's a huge slice of your revenue stream. How do you go about preparing for that, and what things do you have that are distinctive right now that you would have at this time of year that you wouldn't have at any other time of the year? Kristen, I'll stay with you and then let Amanda wrap up.
As far as jewelry goes, I think we just have a higher volume of the things that we carry all year round. We really load up from our local designers because that always sells really well at the holidays. As far as the rest of the store goes, we do have an entire section of the store dedicated more towards holiday decor, ornaments, cards, calendars, things like that. But other than that, it's just more of, it's more all packed in together. but it is, you know, mostly things that you would, outside the holiday things that you would find with us all the rest of the year.
Amanda.
You know, we have a great range of new things. I mean, we have packages that are still sitting waiting to get put into the inventory before Black Friday and Small Business Saturday this weekend. It's kind of a tower, actually. You know, we have everything from DIY moss terrarium kits where you can kind of build your own little pleasant thing to put on your desk in your office. We have these amazing bamboo trekking poles that are made here locally in Indianapolis with bamboo grown in the artist's backyard. We have baby clothes and bath and body products. We have jewelry. We have some locally made artisanal or gourmet food products as well. So we kind of have a range of things, too. And then also we have, on Friday, December 5th, the Indiana Handicraft Exchange Holiday Mini coming up. Mm-hmm. And so if you're interested in getting custom items, if you've seen something before that we carry or you've talked to one of our artists before, there will be 45 of our vendors at that event on Friday, December 5th from 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. at the Harrison Center for the Arts. And you can actually go to that and speak to those artists individually about custom options.
Go ahead and give them the information again. I wish it were otherwise, but people often don't listen to this program with pencil and pen in hand.
All right, get those pencils ready.
Okay.
It is Friday, December 5th, and it is from 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. at the Harrison Center for the Arts. And there will be 45 vendors, all from Indianapolis and central Indiana there with, you know, a whole array of their product line. And many of them do accept custom offers and still can take some of those before Christmas this year.
So we've got, obviously, Small Business Saturday coming up, then an event on December 5th. The Totally Bizarre on December 11th. There's also an event up in Carmel, right? Mass on Main as well?
Sure.
Yeah,
Kristen. Several Mass Ave retailers have kind of joined forces to open a somewhat of a pop-up shop up in Carmel. It's on Main Street next to the Scotty's Brew House. Last year we went,
right,
we were there.
It was a chain, right, so there's a little irony there.
A locally owned chain, I believe.
Yeah.
Carmel.
but it is something we did last year. It was the 12 days of Mass Ave because we were only there 12 days. This year, we actually got ourselves up and running at the end of August. And when you go up there, it's one store, but within it, you'll find Nurture Baby Store, Crimson Tate Modern Quilter. So she's got her fabric, she's got her sewing classes, gift bundles, Handmade Promenade, which is a collection of over 50 Indiana artists with their goods. You'll find Silver in the City, of course. You'll also find items from Global Gifts, which is a fair trade store, T-shirts and magazines from the Pattern Indie Store, and, of course, some of the best chocolate in town.
And, Tiffany, if people are looking for a truly, you know, distinctive shopping experience that's going to be local here, that's going to be individual specific, what do you recommend?
Well, as an ambassador for the bazaar today, I am going to recommend the bazaar. And actually, I think there are a number of neighborhoods that are doing smaller things. I know of one in particular at 49th and Keystone, or Keystone and the Monon. I forget what it's called, but they're doing something a couple days before the bazaar, even. So look, keep your eyes peeled for those things.
Is there like a collecting house or a URL or someplace like that where people can chase this information down, or? Yeah, is it truly sort of the individual entrepreneurial spirit that pops up where it is and you sort of have to go find it?
A lot of it is word of mouth. A lot of it is kind of keeping an eye on the websites and the Facebook pages of a lot of these businesses. And, you know, again, like the collaborations between local businesses, a lot of us will share each other's events and store information as the time grows near, because we all want to support each other and help each other out.
So, there's no place, obviously.
There's a central location for all of that.
So, it sounds like there's a need there, though, right?
To aggregate
and find a place to get another entrepreneurial idea.
Community calendars. You know, Keep Indie Indie, that's another. We talked earlier about local and national initiatives. Mm-hmm. There was a, you know, Keep Austin Weird initiative, and then I think that kind of translated into a bunch of different things in different cities. And mm-hmm. here, there's a Keep Indie Indie movement, and it's run by a guy named Addison Ray, and he kind of keeps track of a lot of those things, and he puts that out there for the community, so he might be a good resource for that.
And there is the URL is
keepindieindie.com.
Well, we're getting close to the conclusion of the show here, and I'm going to ask, what are your plans for after the holiday season? Because it sounds like this is, for the rest of us, this is a time of relaxation and all of that. Not so much for you guys. Kristen.
Following the holidays, I will usually hole up with my family for a week in an undisclosed location and sleep.
And sleep? Amanda.
Well, my family does not believe in rest, apparently. We are in the middle of selling our house, so we will be dealing with that after the holidays.
Oh. And Tiffany.
Hey, HI is working 24 hours a day to make you fall in love with Indy, and so that's what I will continue to be doing.
And in terms of how important a component, though, is pushing this idea of locally owned businesses to HI's mission?
Well, I think it's vital to it, because a lot of the stores that we most love are in historic buildings. So Kristen's, for example, and are you in the newer building?
We're in the newer
building. So, but Mass Ave is historic. So anywhere that is in a historic area, we have a higher propensity to love and adore. We do have a weekly newsletter where we send this kind of stuff out. So you've just given me an idea. We're going to make sure that we
start adding, collecting all of this sort of stuff. And where can people, if they want to get the newsletter, where can they do that?
On the front page of Historic Indianapolis, there's a place that has all
your
social.
You can actually give them is your opportunity to
right.
plug.
Right, silly me. HistoricIndianapolis.com. On the front page, upper right, there are all the icons for Instagram and newsletter and all of the various social media places. Thank you.
Well, I think that's a good last word. I'd like to thank all of you, Kristen Cohn, Amanda Maurer-Tafflinger, and Tiffany Benedict-Berkson. It's been fun talking with you, and I hope you all get through the holiday season just fine.
Thanks,
have wonderful Thanksgivings. I would encourage all of our listeners to tune in on Thursday when we're going to replay a very special show about a World War II POW. I'll guarantee you, if you did not hear it, you will want to listen to this one. I am John Kroll. You've been listening to No Limits. Happy Thanksgiving, and thank you for joining us.
No Limits is a production of 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, Indianapolis. Executive producer, Michelle Johnson. Producer, Shannon Cagle. Interactive media coordinator, Melissa Davis. Technical producers, Cedric Freeman and Chris Flood. And board engineer, Joe Hatcher. Abby Terzini screens our calls. No Limits is made available through IPBS, Indiana's public broadcasting stations.